Who's glad they're in church this morning? So good. Across all of our Elevation locations today, we have services like this happening. And we have location-specific message series starting. So if you don't know, we are a church that meets in 9 locations. And usually what occurs is we have a message series. So we talk on a particular topic for 3 to 4 weeks. And all of our locations all do the same series at the same time, all talking about the same topics. Well, for the next 3 weeks, we have location-specific series. So every one of our locations is doing something different, something that they feel God has been speaking into their hearts about, something that God has been leading them about. And so for us, as Melbourne West, I've just been feeling more and more in my own life and for our church, just more of God. I've just been feeling more of a need for us to push into the Holy Spirit. A need for us, as we've had our prayer nights, as we've had our times of meeting together, I just feel a hunger and a desire from people in my own life and from people in this church, a greater desire for us to be leaning in more to see the Holy Spirit's presence, to see His power, and to see it poured out in our lives. And so because of that, I believe the Holy Spirit leading me. Because of that, we're starting a new series today called Spirit Lead Me. Spirit Lead Me. And it's a series about the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, why He's important, how He can operate in our lives, the things that He wants to do through us, and how He can lead us. And my prayer for you and us as a church is that during this time that we would feel closer to the Holy Spirit. That during these 3 weeks that we would lean in to feel the Holy Spirit's presence. And my prayer is that as we come out of this series, we'd have a greater appreciation of who the Holy Spirit is and a greater desire for Him and His presence and His power in our lives. And I think it's going to be a great message series. And so I want to encourage you, make the decision today to come to all 3 weeks because the messages will build on top of each other. And then also, in conjunction with that, get your phones out, get your diaries out. On Saturday, December the 1st, we're going to be having a Holy Spirit intensive. A Holy Spirit intensive. So in conjunction with these sermons, we're going to be having a day where you can come along and not just learn about the Holy Spirit, but also to learn how to do certain things with the Holy Spirit. Words of knowledge, prophecy, discernment, those kind of things. It's going to be a doing workshop. So if you want more of the Holy Spirit, we're offering you ways to get in deep. If you say, I want to get deeper in church, well, we're going deep. So come along to this day, put in your diary, December 1st. It's a Saturday, and it's going to be amazing. We're flying someone in. So this is serious, man. You know it's serious when you're flying in some guest ministry, man. It's serious. It's going to be an amazing day. And let me just tell you this. When the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, He changes your life. And it's going to be a powerful time. You don't want to miss it. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for our time here this morning. We thank You for baptisms, God. How amazing. People deciding to follow You and to be baptized. We just pray, God, that as I share in Your Holy Spirit, that You are with us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, hey, I'm glad to be in church this morning. You know, the Holy Spirit can be a confusing topic or a confusing idea for many Christians. Can be confusing, and many of us probably feel that we understand who God is, we understand who Jesus is, but we have a bit of difficulty or it's less clear when it comes to the Holy Spirit as to who He is. And the reason for that is because probably as a church, or probably the church, we haven't done as well of a job explaining the Holy Spirit and who He is and how He operates and why He is important. And so because of that, what can happen is that because of people's lack of understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, because people don't really, because they're uncomfortable or confused about the Holy Spirit, they say things like this: hey, I'm just going to park the Holy Spirit over here. I don't really understand who he is, so I'm just going to go with that Jesus and God thing. The Holy Spirit can be over here on the side. Or what might have happened if you've been in church for a while, you may have seen some things. You may have seen some behaviors that were attributed to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that were maybe a little bit strange or maybe a little bit weird. And you've thought to yourself, well, I don't want that weirdness for my life. And apparently that's the Holy Spirit. So I don't want that Holy Spirit. It's too strange. He's not for me. I'm just going to hang with God and Jesus. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit on the side. And today you may be in one of those categories, or maybe you don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, but you may fall into those categories. Well, what I want to do today in my message is I just want to set the record straight. Can I set the record straight? Can I give you the truth this morning? And as much as I can, I want to tell you who the Holy Spirit is and help us to see why we need him. Okay, so I'm going to get into that shortly. But before I get into that, I need to talk a little bit, before I talk further about the Holy Spirit, I do need to lay some foundations. I do need to talk about some things that are very, very important, that are foundational truths for the Christian faith. And what I need to talk about is some important doctrine. What's a doctrine? A doctrine is a set of beliefs. So I wanted to talk to you about an important Christian belief, and that is the doctrine of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity. And you might never have been to church before and you're not sure what I'm talking about. Well, I'm going to explain it to you right now, the doctrine of the Trinity. And I'm going to read this next part out directly from my notes because it's important that I say this correctly. Here it is. The doctrine of the Trinity means that there is one God who eternally exists as three distinct persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Stated differently, God is one in essence, three in person. The doctrine of the Trinity expresses three critical truths. One, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct persons. Two, each person is fully God. Three, there is only one God. Okay? Only one God. Now, this can be a difficult thing to understand, let alone fully understand. We could preach a whole message series on the Trinity. It gets quite deep. It's part of the mystery of God. It's part of the wonder of God, the Trinity. How do we understand it? What it is saying is this. Let me just try and explain to you in a simple way. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit know each other as distinct persons. They are distinct but not separate, distinct persons. Not how we see persons, me and my wife, not like that, not separate. They see each other as distinct persons, and each is fully God. Each is fully God, but there is only one God. There are not three gods, okay? There is only one God, not three gods, but that God is in essence one but three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like I said, it's hard to understand. Has anyone fully got that? You're like, yeah, I could now go and teach in a college and explain the theology of the Trinity. Look, we're not going to go any further in it today, but it's very important that I start with that concept, that foundational concept of Christianity, because it's very, very important because it reveals this to us. The Holy Spirit is not some second-rate citizen to the Father or the Son. The Holy Spirit is fully God and is fully equal to the Father and the Son. Fully God and fully equal to the Father and the Son. This is very important for us to know. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God, and it's important for us to know that, because if we think I can't understand the Holy Spirit, or we think the Holy Spirit's manifestations are too weird and I just want to push the Holy Spirit to aside, you are pushing God aside. You are pushing God aside. You cannot have God without the Holy Spirit. You cannot have God without the Holy Spirit. You can't separate the Holy Spirit out and ignore him. He is fully God. And so instead of pushing the Holy Spirit to the side because maybe we don't understand him or it's a bit confusing or we're uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit, instead what we should do is we should lean in, we should open our hearts, we should say, hey, Holy Spirit, I want to hear what you have to say. We should repent if that's been our attitude. I want the Holy Spirit. We should repent if that's been our attitude, and we should ask him to reveal himself to us. And my prayer is that this message series would help us to have the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us. The first time we hear about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So in the Bible, it talks about Spirit of God. It talks about the breath. It talks about the wind of God. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. The first time we hear about the Holy Spirit is in the second verse of the Bible. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen behind me. But the first time we hear about him is in the very, very beginning. It says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the what? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters." The Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. What we need to know about the Holy Spirit is that when God chooses to interact with creation, he chooses to do it via his Holy Spirit. In this passage here, we see his Holy Spirit is down on the earth. It says the earth was formless and empty. And you might be here today and you're thinking about your own life. And you might be saying, you know what, Bronson, that's me. I'm empty. I feel formless. I feel void. I feel like I'm in a place of darkness. I want to let you know that when the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit is God. When the Holy Spirit is in a life, when he is in a place, it can't stay formless, it can't stay empty, it can't stay void, it can't stay in a place of darkness. When he comes, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, his presence fills a place, his presence fills a life, his presence comes, and when he comes, he brings something new. He brings new life. He brings new vision. He brings new hope. He brings new attitudes, new desire, new meaning. He brings new power for your life. It is through the Holy Spirit that God did creation. And today, this might be your first time in church, or maybe your 100th time in church, but perhaps you've never really surrendered your life to God. Perhaps you're not a Bible person. You wouldn't consider yourself a church person. But today, I want to give you the opportunity, a little bit later in my sermon, for you to meet the Holy Spirit, for you to meet and know God, give you an opportunity to give your life to him and to see the Holy Spirit's power come into your life and bring newness upon you. As we look further in the Bible, in the Old Testament is the part of the Bible that was before Jesus. As we look further in the Old Testament, in the Bible, we see that the Holy Spirit came upon particular people at particular times for particular tasks. And the first person we're looking at is this guy called Bezalel. It says this in Exodus 31, 1-5. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I've chosen Bezalel, son of the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have,'" what? "Filled him with the Spirit of God," filled him with the Holy Spirit, "with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts." Bezalel was a craftsman. He was a craftsman, great at doing gold and stones and stonework and masonry and woodwork and all these types of things. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon him, he starts to have wisdom. He starts to have understanding. He starts to see designs and ideas that he's never thought of before, that he's never realized because the Holy Spirit comes upon him. The question is why? Remember I said the Holy Spirit came on people at particular times, particular tasks? Why? Well, Bezalel just so happened to be the guy who was in charge of making the Ark of the Covenant. Guess what the Ark of the Covenant was? It was a physical thing that the presence of God, when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It was a physical place where the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelt amongst the Israelites. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit comes on this man to build the Ark of the Covenant. And you know, today, maybe in your life, you need wisdom. Maybe in your life, you need some understanding. You need knowledge. Maybe in your life, you're going through things where you need new skills or you need something in your life. How about instead of turning to Google, how about instead of turning to friends, how about instead of turning to your own past experiences, what if we were to turn to the Holy Spirit? What if we were to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, "Hey, Holy Spirit, would you fill me with wisdom and understanding and knowledge? Would you give me new skills?" Would we turn to the Holy Spirit? Because let me tell you something, he wants to do that in your life. He's just waiting for an opportunity for you to say, come and fill my life. Another person I want to look at this morning is a man called Gideon from Judges 6, verses 14 to 16. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. And then in Judges 6:34, it says this, then the Spirit of the Lord, then the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. Hey, Judges 3:34 says this, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. The Holy Spirit came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. Gideon had issues. Gideon had inferiority complexes. Gideon felt like he was the least of the least. He had a lack of confidence. Gideon was a man who had fear and anxiety, low self-esteem. And yet, we see, if you had looked at his graduation yearbook, it would have said this, least likely to succeed. Least likely to succeed. But what happens is he has an encounter. He has an encounter with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. And then when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, the next thing we know, he's grabbing the trumpet, the war trumpet. He's blowing that trumpet. He's summoning men to go out to battle. He's leading them. He has a supernatural courage to fight. And today, maybe in your life, you're facing some battles. Maybe in your life today, there's an enemy who is trying to attack you, attack your family, and you need courage. You need strength. Maybe you want to beat fear or anxiety in your life. Can I say to you, call upon the Holy Spirit. Call upon Him. Say, Holy Spirit, can you come and give me courage and strength? Can you give me might and victory in my life? Fill me today. The Holy Spirit wants to come and give you courage and strength to face what you need to face. As I said before, the Old Testament shows us that the Old Testament shows us that the Holy Spirit doesn't fill people based on their ability, He fills them based on their availability. Not based on their ability, but on their availability. And you don't have to be the greatest, you don't have to be the best, you don't have to have all the answers, you don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to be available for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about what other gifts or talents other people have. You just have to be available. And let me tell you, to receive the Holy Spirit, it's an easy prayer and it's an easy attitude to have in life. All you need to say is, Holy Spirit, I make myself available to you today. Holy Spirit, I make myself available to you today. At other times in the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes upon men and women to prophesy. To prophesy. What's prophecy? Prophecy is a foretelling of events that are to occur come from God. It's a foretelling of the future when the Holy Spirit comes upon someone and God tells them about events that are going to occur in the future. One of those prophets was the prophet Joel. And look at this, in Joel 2, verse 28 to 29, he prophesies. And this is amazing. Have a look at what he prophesies about. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my Spirit. I will pour out my Holy Spirit on all flesh. This is God talking through Joel. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Man, if you're old here today, you can have vision. If you're young here today, you can have dreams. Whichever way it goes, whoever it is, you can have those things happen in your life. Joel prophesies of the coming outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the earth, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. And yet, the Old Testament ends and it still hasn't happened. The Old Testament ends, it still hasn't happened. It's still happening where the Holy Spirit comes on particular people at particular times for a particular task. The New Testament begins, and in Luke 1, we see the Holy Spirit involved in the birth of Jesus. Remember earlier I said that when God wants to interact with creation, he uses the Holy Spirit. He chooses the Holy Spirit. Check this out. You think I'm making it up? Watch this. Luke 1, 31 to verse 35. This is an angel talking to Mary. He says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him who? Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." It is through the Holy Spirit, when God chooses to interact with creation, with us, he uses the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that Mary conceives a son who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's other occurrences of the Holy Spirit in the early part of the New Testament where the Holy Spirit comes on Zechariah and he comes on Elizabeth. These are the parents of John the Baptist. He comes upon John the Baptist. But he's still coming on particular people at particular times for a particular task. I want you to remember that. The Holy Spirit came upon particular people at particular times for particular tasks. And this is what we call a cliffhanger. We're going to park that thought, and then next week I'm going to pick that thought up and continue with it and expand it. So you're going to want to come back, yeah? Yes, you are. So Jesus, God in flesh, God the Son, talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about the Holy Spirit. And so right now, I want to talk about three things that Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit. If the kids could come. Number one, the Holy Spirit comforts us. He comforts us. John 14, 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another" what? "Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The Comforter is another name for the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, Comforter? Well, what it means is that when we're hurting, when we're going through some pain, it means that when we are uncomfortable, when we're disappointed, when we're in hurts, we have the Holy Spirit who can come and bring comfort to our lives. And maybe today that's you. Maybe in your life today, you're in a place of hurt. You need comfort in your life. I want you to know the Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is available to comfort you in your situation. And today I want to say to you, call upon him. Call upon him. Say, "Holy Spirit, come and bring comfort to my life. Holy Spirit, come and have your presence around my life. Bring your peace that surpasses all understanding. Bring it around my life. Holy Spirit, I need your comfort in my life." The second thing that Jesus teaches about Jesus is that the Holy Spirit counsels us. He counsels us, John 16, 13. "But when he," the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, "comes, he will guide you into all truth." So many situations I'm in, I need the Holy Spirit's counsel. I don't know about you, but so many things that happen in my life, so many directions, so many decisions I need to make, I need the Holy Spirit's direction. I need his wisdom. I need his discernment. And so in my life, I have decisions to make. How am I going to raise my children? In my life, I have decisions to make. How am I going to lead my family, lead this church? In my life, I need discernment. When someone comes to see me as their pastor, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to them at the moment that you want to say to me? I need the Holy Spirit's counsel. And today in your life, I want to ask you, who better to turn to than the Holy Spirit for counsel? Who better to turn to than God? God, the Holy Spirit is God. Then God, the Holy Spirit, and to have his counseling. And today, if that's you, I want you to know that there is someone you can turn to at every moment of your life, at every decision where you need his input, at every moment where you are unsure, where you don't have understanding, you can turn to the Holy Spirit and he can give you counsel to help you to make those decisions that you need to make. Maybe right now, there is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about a decision that you need to follow him, to know God. The third thing that Jesus teaches us about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit convicts us. John 16, 8. "When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. When it says when he comes, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Right now, there may be people here and you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit. Right now, the Holy Spirit may be talking to you about things in your life, about attitudes, about words you speak, about thoughts that you have, about behaviors that you do. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today and he's saying, hey, come on, can we look at this area? Hey, come on, surrender that part of your life. Hey, come on, give that part of your life over to me. I can come, I can empower you. I can give you the strength to overcome this, but you've got to come before me and you've got to ask for me to help you. Ask for me, the Holy Spirit, to help you. And I don't know what that might be for you today, but you know, the Holy Spirit knows. Would you come today? And would you say, Holy Spirit, give me your strength today? Maybe perhaps you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. And you've never been to church before, or maybe not one like this. And right now, there's something that's just drawing you. You're just like, wow, there's just something here that's drawing me. There's something that's making me want to know more about what's happening here, about this God, about Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you in your spirit to say, hey, you need to know me. You need to know more about me. And here's what you need to know. God the Father loved us so much that he sent Jesus, the Son, who lived a sinless life and died for us on the cross. He went into the grave and he rose again through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit now, we are empowered to live a life of victory. We are empowered to live a life that can give honor and glory to God, a life that can be an example to the world around us because of the Holy Spirit. And if that's you today and he's speaking to you, very, very shortly, I'm going to give you a chance to put your hand up and say, Bronson, I want to receive Jesus. Every eye will be closed, every head will be bowed. Give you a chance to say, yes, I want to know Jesus. And so I'm going to close very shortly, but I just want to talk about this. What have we learned about the Holy Spirit today? One, the Holy Spirit is fully God. I think this is so important for us to realize this. We know it, but we kind of put it to the side. The Holy Spirit is fully God. So when I say, Holy Spirit, I want your presence to come down, don't think, oh, this is a weird time. No, I'm just saying, God, would you come down? When I'm saying to you, would you allow the presence of the Holy Spirit into your life? Don't think, oh, what's this? This is weird. No. I'm just saying, would you allow the part of God that interacts with creation, would you allow that presence to come down upon your life? The Holy Spirit is fully God. The Holy Spirit is how God chooses to interact with us, with creation. He came upon people for particular tasks at particular times, and he comforts, counsels, and convicts us. Just as I close, I want to share a story with you of this story. I was listening to this sermon or this time of teaching that this American pastor was giving, and he was talking about how he was going to buy a truck. And you know, like we have utes, one-ton utes, but they have like trucks that are like, I don't know, 50-ton trucks or something. I don't know, a Ford 250 or something. Anyway, he was going to buy this truck, yeah? We all know Americans. And so he went in and he had a big plan, and so he did all the wheeling and dealing. You know, when we go to buy a car, if you're stuck in there for days trying to negotiate. Anyway, he did the wheeling and dealing. He came up with this great deal. And after he bought the truck, the salesperson was explaining all the new features of the truck. He's going through the truck. Here's all the things, X, Y, Z. And then he started talking to him. To one of the features was a remote start function. It's a function where you can remotely start your car. And this pastor just so happened to live in the far north regions of North America, and their winters are fierce. Their winters are really, really bad. They're just like meters and meters of snow that fall during winter. And so he says, he thinks to himself, a remote start, this is awesome. It means that he can be inside his house, remote start the car, and he can just sit inside the house while it warms up, while it warms up the engine, warms up the car, then he can go out and jump into the car. Who would like a car like that? No one. It's because it doesn't get cold enough here. Anyway, his ears pick up when he talks about the remote start. The salesperson goes, look, here's how you do it. On your key fob, there's this red button at the top. You press that red button. Then within 2 seconds, you press the door open button and you hold it in for 5 seconds. And if you do that, it'll remote start your truck. And so this pastor's like, that's awesome. That's cool. That's great. And so he finishes off the paperwork and he walks out, and then he turns to the salesperson. He goes, hey, do you mind, because he did a trade-in, he goes, do you mind if I look at my old keys? And so the salesperson throws him his old keys, looks at his keys, he presses this red button. He then presses the door open button for 5 seconds and he hears his old truck start. His old truck start. And all this time he had remote start and he didn't realize it. And you know, for some of us here today, that's a picture for our lives. That's a picture for our lives. The Holy Spirit, He's there for us. There's this power available to us. There is this comfort. There is this counseling available, even conviction available to us. He's always been there. He's always been available. But for some reason, we just haven't activated him. For some reason, maybe because we haven't understood him or we haven't been comfortable, maybe because we've seen weird things, we've decided, no, I don't want the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit is so critical for our walk as Christians. You can't walk through life without the Holy Spirit power. God loves us. He sent Jesus. Jesus came and died. He loves us so much. But it's the Holy Spirit that works through us today as new believers. And today I want to say this. If that's you today, today it changes. Today it changes for us, for your life. It changes for this church. We want more of the Holy Spirit's power. We want more of His presence. We want more of His glory. We want more of His anointing. And maybe you don't. That's all right, because we're going to have enough of it that it's going to flow over and hit you. It's going to be like a tsunami that just washes you off your feet. It's going to be like going in those waters. It just pours over you. And we want to see God's presence poured out on our lives. Poured out in our lives. I don't want to be dry. I don't want to be a dry Christian. I want to be a Christian that the Holy Spirit is filling me and I'm full of life and full of His anointing.